And then she goes, "Xing Chao, blah, blah, blah." And then he goes, "What are you talking about?" No, it's just, it's hard to talk about dead bunnies and, you know, make jokes. I think they're a bunch of fuckers. They're ripping off the American people. They're being mean to children.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max in a Box.
And this is episode 113 of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record.
This is our lucky 113th because our last 113th didn't work out so well.
Right. And this is, what is this? This is November 23rd, 2009.
The 23rd, that's right.
I got an update for you, right off the bat.
I like updates. Update me.
Okay. Are you familiar with Ray Bradbury's book, The Illustrated Man?
You know, I never read it. I know I've seen it in friends' houses in college and bookshelves, but no, I never read it.
Well, in it, the basic story, in a nutshell, is that there's a man who's covered with tattoos that move.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
And a
few weeks ago, we did a chronicle about tattooing fruit. And about
right.
How.
Which reminds me, I have an update. I'm sorry. About how?
Well, I don't know. About how what?
Oh, I interrupted it.
What I was saying was that we talked about tattooing fruit.
Right.
So the update is that I have another tattooing story.
Okay.
And we're going to call it LED tattoos.
Uh-oh.
The University of Pennsylvania. Researchers there have developed a silicone and silk implant that goes under your skin and looks like a tattoo.
Huh.
And that this screen can carry LED messages. The chip itself is about the size of a small grain of rice, and it's only 250 nanometers thick. I have no idea what that means in terms of, but I would imagine that means it's very thin.
Very, very small.
Right. And the sheet of silk is keeps it all in place, and it molds to your skin.
Is it 1/1000th?
I don't know. It's
of a
thin.
Meter?
It's thin,
yeah.
Babe.
All right. It's really thin.
It goes under your skin. And they are right now looking into, like, medical uses, like they could put a blood sugar sensor in there.
Oh, sure.
It would tell you constantly what your blood sugar reading was.
Yeah.
Well, they also could put a device in there that would make a little – that would put a little message there. Eat at McDonald's. I just drank coffee at Starbucks. And they speculate that people would actually be paid to have these things, these chips implanted and these screens implanted in their arms or other parts of the body that people can see.
Sure. Well, I've seen boxers who wore tattoos of advertising.
Tattoos, right. Oh, sure. Absolutely. On their back and stuff like that. Sure. I guess depending on whether you're a good boxer or not, you'd put it on your front or your back.
Which side's up?
Right.
If it makes a difference whether it's on your front or your back, that implies that either way you're going down.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
I just thought it was interesting that this is
where we're at now. First we're tattooing fruit. Now we're making tattoos for people that move. So, you know.
Well, yeah, I think it's great. I was listening to Leo Laporte and his cohorts on This Week in Tech, and they were talking about an iPod app that could be, and I think this is theoretical, hooked up to your Bluetooth device, so or some kind of an earpiece. You stick it in your ear, and as you're like a runner, it'll tell you how much glucose you're using, what your blood pressure is, what your heart
is. Oh, yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
And same kind of advanced technologies that are coming up. But that's not the thing that I wanted to mention as long as we were doing updates. Somewhere I heard a story about Kellogg's is tattooing every cornflake.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
What are they putting on there?
Just a barcode. Just some sort of a symbol that says this is a genuine Kellogg's cornflake.
Wow.
Just so you know you're getting the real thing.
I guess so. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, I thought that was a surprise. But
Pretty soon you could put them right on hookers, too, you know? So you know you're getting the real thing.
I don't think we're up to androids yet. I mean...
Yeah, you might, you know, you never know. You never know.
I don't know. All the hookers I've always visited have been the real thing, as far as I know.
All right, I got another update for you.
All
right. This one's right up your alley, too. This one's a softball. You're going to hit this one out of the park for a home run.
Oh, good. I need a home run.
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
I know that you worked in the food service industry.
Once or twice.
Okay, or 12 times, whatever, right. Whatever it was. Okay, so here is the article. Okay, Leslie Pope and John Wagner had an evening that they will long remember. Not only did they get what they called lousy service, they got handcuffed and arrested all over a $16.35 tip.
Huh.
They were in the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And the establishment tacked on their bill a quote-unquote mandatory 18% gratuity.
Huh.
The bill ended up being $73.1635, of which was a tip. Pope and Wagner refused to pay. You can't give us terrible service and expect a tip, she said. And as their examples of poor service, they said they had to get their own napkins and cutlery while their waitress was out having a smoke. They had to go to the bar for soda refills, and they had to wait over an hour for salad and wings.
Bad service.
Absolutely bad service. But the menu clearly states 18% gratuity added to checks of parties or six or more. That's what they had. That's what they got. They refused to pay. They were arrested.
There were six people there?
There were six people there.
Hmm, interesting.
Now, here's the thoughts behind it. Number one, if it's mandatory, then it's not a gratuity, right?
Right, gratuity means free.
Right.
As in that's given
like
freely.
There's your oxymoron from our last show.
Exactly, mandatory gratuity.
Mandatory gratuity. It's like compulsory volunteering. You said it.
Right.
All right. So there you go. But I guess the deeper issue is look, I understand and I respect waiters and waitresses.
Right.
We have a couple of favorite breakfast places that we go to. We always tip the waitress well. She's a young kid. She's either working her way through school or she's supporting a kid, whatever. I have absolutely no problem with that. She gives us great service.
Right.
I have walked out of restaurants that have given poor service. But how do you deal with the 18% gratuity added to checks of party or six of more? Is that no longer gratuity? Is that a service charge? What is it, and should these people be arrested? Max, take it away.
Okay. I believe that this falls under contract law. There are things called implied contracts, and just like when you go to the baseball game, you assume the risk that you might be hit in the noggin with a batted ball. If there's something written on your menu that says this fee is mandatory and you accept that by going ahead and ordering, you have offer and acceptance. And when you have offer and acceptance, you have a contract.
Right.
So I would say by contract law, they, as long as they saw it, mandatory gratuity, which I'm really beginning to love that term, I'd say they're stuck.
Well, it's interesting you say that because in the notes, in the comments that were following the article, there was several, quote-unquote, internet lawers.
Yeah.
Who said,
be an oxymoron, too.
Right, because another one, okay, that said that the term gratuity is where this kind of swings.
Yeah.
And that if you say a gratuity is mandatory, that is, in fact, that's like saying we're not responsible for your coat. That's just something that they say, and in fact, the reality is if they don't offer you a safe place to put your coat and it's stolen, then they are responsible for it. Well, this is the same thing, they argue, saying that a gratuity is given for service. If you don't get good service, that you can't enforce giving it, and that's why the fact that they, get their own soda, that they had to get their own napkin and cutlery while the waitress, and I think that might be key, while the waitress was out there catching a smoke.
Well, that's a good point. There is a second part to that. It's fee for service.
Right.
No service, no fee.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely a kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I believe there is an offer and acceptance there. But implied in the offer is service.
Right. If I say I'm going to fix your roof, and you pay me $1,000 and I don't fix your roof.
Or if you fix half of my roof.
Right. You're going to argue that I didn't perform my service and so therefore you shouldn't have to pay me. Well, if you go to a restaurant and you have an expectation of what service is, they give you napkins and silverware. They refill your sodas.
Right.
And they deliver your meal in a timely fashion.
Right.
Then if you don't deliver that,
Come across with the cash. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like they ran out on the bill. They paid the bill portion. They just didn't pay the gratuity.
Yeah. That's real close. That's a splitting hairs kind of thing.
Yeah. That's why I love the internet.
Loves me some intertubes.
Yep.
Interweb tubes.
So, okay, Max, what do you got for us?
Well, I've got an email from one of our listeners, Lieutenant Dan. I call him Lieutenant Dan. I don't think he was ever actually in the military. And he's included some more of those words that grind on your teeth and grit on your nerves. Sent a few more updates of words that annoy him, and some of them I thought were really good. For instance, alls, as in all is inclusive.
Right.
Like.
But isn't that – didn't – was it Manhattan Man who said that – isn't that the plural of y'all?
All y'all. Y'alls? Right. As in fuck all y'all.
Right.
And I told that story already, right, about the my boss's boss and being down south. There's no such word as alls. But now I'm trying to remember how he used alls. All's well? All's right?
All's right. All's okay.
I got to think about that now, and I don't like to think. Anyway.
Well, it gets us into trouble when we think.
So. That's right. The worst offense of all, and I thank Dan for pointing it out to us, is irregardless. It's not actually a word. You don't need three words. Regardless
covers it all.
It covers it all. Regardless, irregardless, and of no regard. I don't know where I'm going. But anyway, irregardless is not a word. You can't find it in Oxford English dictionary like you can say something like unfriend, which is a real English word.
Right.
Did I tell you that I unfriended someone for the first time?
No.
Yes, I did.
We have made you a...
an asshole.
I don't know. So you unfriended somebody.
Yes, I had enough. I'd had enough. I got religious preached to out of the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And I thought it was way over the top. Shouldn't we all admit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just said, you know, why don't we all admit that most of the people in the world think your religion is wrong, whatever religion you believe. And I wrote it back. And then I unfriended that person because I really didn't want to get into a flame war. And I probably shouldn't have answered back, but I just get tired of people sticking religion in my face.
It's funny that you say that because I was just contemplating tonight, as a matter of fact, before we began tonight's podcast.
To send me a religious message?
Well, no, but the ones that I hate is I get these emails from acquaintances that assume that I must hate Barack Obama and that I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tell me all this stuff about, you know, about how good this is and how bad this is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, dude, if you're sending me this, you obviously
don't know how I think.
Right. You don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
So I was contemplating doing something similar.
Yeah.
I would call in Gmail, I'm going to call it, make up a word, I'm going to call it spamize them.
Oh, no.
By every time they send me something, say it's spam so that the filter blocks it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, filter it for sure.
You know?
Well, there's so much stuff going around the internet that and a lot of it is decidedly right-wing or decidedly left-wing.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, don't you believe that Barack Obama is the worst person in the world?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If this 95-year-old World War I veteran, you know, feels this deeply enough to write this letter to Barack Obama where he basically says he's an asshole, you know, then it must be true. So therefore, Barack Obama must be, you
right.
know, they're ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
And there was stuff like that that went out around the internet about George W. Bush.
Oh, sure. Well, I think that it's been around for lots of people. I just think that.
But it always goes around to the true believers on both sides. And it's usually over the top. And even the George Bush stuff, and you know how I love George Bush, usually I wouldn't send it on because a lot of it is not thought out. It's ill-considered. It's poorly grammaticized. Is that a word?
Sure.
You know,
it is now.
I am the Oxford English Dictionary. And you got to stop sending this internet stuff. There's very few you know what we need a word for? We need a word for these internet spinners. These things
stop sending us that shit.
Right. These things that go flying around the internet so fast that are sensational and generally political and generally over the top. But speaking of political and over the top, and I do have to get back to one more word, but I just happened to be catching the Ed Show tonight when I turned on the TV when I got home. I don't generally watch it because I think he's a little over the top. But he had a guy on there who posted a billboard that said, President or Jihad? And it had two pictures of Barack Obama. And one of them had this huge, goofy smile on his face with the big ear sticking out. And the other one had a huge, goofy smile on the face with the big ear sticking out and a turban on the top. And it said, I don't remember the details, but it was all about his birth certificate. You know, why won't he tell us about his birth?
Another birther.
Another birther. And then he said, just remember Fort Hood. And first of all,
that's his fault, right?
Right, right. And that implying that he's secretly here to destroy the United States.
Right.
And the guy managed complete sentences when Ed interviewed him. But then they put on some commentators, including a conservative guy who used to do movie reviews. I can't remember his name now. But he said, and they all did, this guy's over the top. He's right wing. He's a problem for the Republican Party. You know, any rational person believes that President Obama is an American and that he's not out to destroy the United States. And it's about time people conceded the notion that the other party is interested in the good of the country.
Right.
You know, our politics have gotten so strained and so polarized that you can't even admit the President of the United States is anything other than a terrorist.
And, sure.
You know, if you're that far gone, just shut up.
Well, let me just go a little off topic but still on topic here, and you know how painful that can be. All right? Did you see the Saturday Night Live parody ad for Sarah Palin in the movie 2012?
No, geez, I missed it.
They did a parody ad, and they it was up on some sites, and then it was gone, but I found it through John Dvorak.
Yeah.
And in it, they did a mashup of a political ad announcing that Sarah Palin had been elected president and Glenn Beck was her vice president.
Yeah.
Along with the pictures of the world ending from the movie 2012. And
yeah,
it ended with a Sarah Palin / 2012 moniker. And it was very, very funny. It was,
mm-hmm,
it wasn't spectacularly done, but it was funny.
Yeah.
But Dvorak printed a video off of, well, posted a video off of YouTube. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but several months ago, during probably the early part of the summer, when the teabaggers first got out there and started protesting,
yeah,
I sent you a link to an interview guy, a young kid, maybe 19 or 20 years old, who was at a teabagger convention or whatever you want to call it. And he was interviewing people, and they were all like, they could barely put sentences together.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were saying things like, you know, that we're against this and we're against that. You know, like, we want the government out of our Medicaid.
Right,
you know,
right.
That kind of stuff, you know. And it was very, very well done. Well, the kid has posted another one. He went to a Sarah Palin book signing at a Borders.
Yeah.
And asked people what they thought about Sarah Palin and why they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And as the commentary progressed, all I could think of was that in the comment section after the video, it said, well, somebody has to work at McDonald's and drive trucks and do this. These people were ignorant.
That's just ignorant.
They couldn't put three sentences together that made any sense.
Right.
I like Sarah Palin because of this. And it was like, because she's a woman? No, no, I'm not being sexist.
Because she's a true American.
Right.
Whatever the hell that means.
So you definitely should look it up. I'll try to remember to send you the link. It's 8 minutes and it's a great video.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
It really is.
I saw one from Saturday Night Live that they played on a clip this morning on Morning Joe, where the president was talking to a Chinese official, and the interpreter was there, and the Chinese official was basically saying, you know, what are you going to do about the economy? And Obama was like, well, we got it under control, blah, 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 blah. And the Chinese official had this worry in question. And Obama's like, no, it's cool. And you know, and then the guy goes something like, when are we going to get our money back? And Obama says, don't worry about it. You'll definitely get your money back. And this is all through an interpreter. And then the guy goes, you know, blah, ching, tow, blah, blah, blah. And the interpreter goes, I want you to kiss me. And Obama goes, what? And he goes, ching, chow, wah, blah, blah. And then she goes, I want you to kiss me. And he goes, what? And then she goes, ching, chow, wah, blah, blah. And then he goes, what are you talking about? And the Chinese minister goes, I always want to get kissed. I like to be kissed when I'm being fucked.
Oh, wow.
So it was a pretty good, and I like the fact that they're willing to take a shot at the Democrats because they had so much fun with George Bush.
Oh, sure.
But we are in trouble with the Chinese because they own, you know, 10% of everything we hold dear.
Right.
But anyway,
all those restaurants.
That's probably the only thing they don't own is the American Chinese restaurants, which have nothing to do with Chinese food from what I hear.
No, they don't.
One more Dan word. And that is another, as in it's a whole nother thing.
Could I have another muffin?
No, because that's another. But this is another. It's a whole nother thing. I need another one? No, that's still another. Anyway, I've said it myself. A whole nother thing. And there's no such word.
Sure.
You know, what does it mean? Another. I can't find another use for it. But
there is another use for it.
Another thing. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was a good one. But we should probably move on to something else.
All right. Well, I got something of interest here.
All right.
Now, this is something that we could take very, very seriously, or we don't have to. So I'll leave it up to you.
Okay. Well, let's see where it takes us.
All right. So Sweden announced that they are going to use their plague of rabbits.
Okay. I didn't know they had a plague of rabbits in Sweden.
They do, to convert them to biofuel. Okay. In Stockholm, they said that they have culled, so that means captured and destroyed.
Yeah.
6,000 rabbits.
Yeah.
In the city alone. Okay, these are former pets that have been released into the wild that can't survive.
I've got 6,000 rabbits in my backyard. 6,000 rabbits isn't much.
6,000 natural rabbits to the area. These are pets that have been...
Yeah, that's my backyard. It's 40, 50,000 rabbits easily.
Okay, well, Stockholm's taking them, killing them, and freezing them, and then using them as biofuel.
Well, it's matter.
Right? or it doesn't matter. One or the other depends on whether you're PETA or not.
Right.
They have a company whose job it is to pick up these frozen rabbits, but they also process
rabbit turds.
No, they also process roadkill in the same way.
Yeah.
The contractor picks up all these dead rabbits, and then he also gets cats, deer, horses, cows, anything that runs on the highway and gets hit by a car.
I was going to say, it's not mutually exclusive. Right. Rabbits falls into that category, too.
And they use them for?
Biofuel.
Biofuel. Now, there are people that say that this is a problem because you're taking, you know, that you're using it that way.
Improperly.
We'll just say it that way. All right.
Were you supposed to be eating the rabbits?
Well, I don't know. I guess if you're not going to eat them, you leave them alone. But where this gets to be a little bit crazy is that up near you in the Hudson Valley area of New York State, in Rockland County, they are talking about culling deer because they're eating all of their bushes. And they want to do something real similar.
Well,
so, you know.
We have just started deer season around here.
Right.
And they'll take, I don't know, 10,000 deer just in Chenango County, I think. I mean, they kill thousands and thousands of deer in New York. And they're opening up, like, doe licenses and stuff because there's so god darn many.
But, I have lots of respect for hunters. I don't care. If you're going to shoot a deer and then you're going to bring it home and have some venison steaks and, you know, some ground venison burgers and maybe a little loin of venison, I have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever.
They've just started a program in New York where you can get a tax write-off for the butchering of your deer if you give the meat to a food pantry.
Okay. But the idea of culling animals to use them as fuel, I mean, you know, and the argument, I guess, and where I start to break down with this is the argument is, well, you raise cattle to cull them to make hamburgers. You raise pigs to cull them to make bacon.
Pig burgers, yeah.
You know, you cull chickens to make them roasters. Turkeys, a couple of days from now is Thanksgiving. I would call that culling the herd. To have enough frozen turkeys for Thanksgiving. I mean, we even have the president pardoning a turkey. So, I mean, you know, but when you talk about eating the food versus burning it as biofuel, to me it just leaves a little queasy feeling.
Yeah, because it could be put to better use. They have a legal theory called highest and best use. And it's better to make food than to make fire, I guess, is kind of what you're saying.
Right.
And there is enough roadkill around here. And one of the things they do with roadkill is the Department of Environmental Conservation, I think, picks up the roadkill and they throw it out on the ice once the rivers are frozen.
For the eagles and stuff.
Right. So that we have no problem with that, but your problem is perfectly edible, and rabbits are edible. I have eaten rabbit. You should.
I have too. Yeah.
Tastes like chicken.
I've eaten venison.
Oh yeah. I have venison in my freezer
now. But I've never taken a rabbit and burned it in my wood stove.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I
don't know, Max. I'm just throwing it out because I'm not really sure.
Yeah, no, it seems odd.
I'm bothered by the word cull to start, you know. Although I guess I understand, you know, if there's a billion rabbits running around, that could cause problems. But
yeah.
I, no, to me, it just bothers me.
Don't they have like a billion rabbits in Australia?
I think so. So, I mean, they probably got, you know, somebody might look at that and say, oh, they have a good renewable fuel source.
Yeah. Well,
and that's,
yeah.
That's the part that gets me.
Well, I'm not a PETA person, and, you know,
I'm not either.
Some things
still,
get out of balance.
Yeah.
You know, we're all carbon-based life forms, and we all burn, and I would rather see them burn the rabbits than just leave them to rot, I think.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, that just opens up so many doors.
Well, it seems intuitively it kind of grates on your nerves. I agree with you.
Right.
I wish it was funnier, but
yeah, well, I said this could be serious or
yeah,
not. I mean, it depends. You know, it depends on how you want
to
take it.
No, it's just it's hard to talk about dead bunnies and you know, make jokes.
squirrely.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No good dead bunny jokes that I know of.
Oh. Well, look, our time is just about up. I got a quickie. I can let it go. You got something. I don't care.
Well, I got something. It's not very funny, but I did want to kind of bring it up.
Okay, go.
I was listening to another podcast, Planet Money. I don't know if you've ever listened to it.
No, I have not.
But they were saying on Planet Money, first of all, they're sponsored by Ally Bank. And they were saying that Ally Bank is the reformed GMAC. And,
okay.
And they're going to the federal government for the third time because they're actually using risky banking practice, risky lending practices. They're basically making risky loans because they know that they can go back to the federal government. Now they've done it three times. And I find that a problem. I find the fact that they've changed their name because they know GMAC sounds like a piece of shit. So they call themselves Ally, like they're on your side. But you've seen some of these commercials. They take, like, this the one that I last saw that really just irritates me every time I see it. They ask the one little girl, would you like a pony? And they give her a toy horse.
I've seen that one. Isn't that great? And then they ask another one and they bring a real horse out.
Right. And you watch that little girl looking pissed off. And there's another one with a kid on a bicycle, and they say, well, you can ride it, but you can't ride it out of the box.
Right, and there's the one with the trucks. The kid, he gives the truck to play with and then takes it right back from him.
Right.
He only got it for 2 seconds, yes.
They're making their money, they're making their advertising by being mean to children. I think they're a bunch of fuckers. They're ripping off the American people. They're being mean to children. And I think they should just go fucking bankrupt. I hate Ally Bank. And that's all I got to say about that.
Okay. Well, look, I got one. I was going to say just on a lighter note, but that was pretty light.
Yeah.
In a different sort of way.
Fuck Ally.
I'm going to go with it anyway.
All right, hit me.
Ready?
Yes.
A 26-year-old man filed a case against the FMCG company, yeah, which owns the Axe brand of men grooming products,
right,
for cheating and causing him mental suffering. He cited his failure to attract any girl, even though he's been using the products exclusively for 7 years.
Yeah.
He said that Axe advertisements suggest that products help men instantly attract women.
Yeah.
He stated, my favorite part, he stated that he was pushed to take this step when his maid beat him with a broom and he tried to impress her by appearing naked in front of her after applying several Axe products.
You know, Brian's first rule of social dynamics applies.
Yep. People are
stupid.
Stupid.
Come on.
I agree.
That's just a poor excuse for being an exhibitionist.
Right.
Oh. You can't possibly be that stupid, can you?
Well, the company says that there is no data to substantiate the supposition that unattractive and unintelligent men don't attract women.
Unattractive and unintelligent men don't attract?
Right. There's no data to suggest that.
I'm thinking maybe there is. I don't know. But, you know, if you rub some Axe on you and jump naked out in front of a maid and you think somehow that's going to do you some good,
right?
You just qualify for Brian's first rule.
And you know, I just as an added note, at the end of the article, it says that the guy had trouble getting into the court the day that the thing was filed, the case was filed.
Yeah.
Because
he was naked.
The guard, the court, whatever, the court guard.
Right.
Thought that he was a deodorant vendor who was going to be selling product because he brought all of the Axe products with him to show.
Oh, I thought because he just stank so much of.
No, he brought all the products with him to show the judge, and the guy thought he was
a salesman.
A salesman, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if that lady had used her broom properly, we'd be talking about death of a salesman here.
Oh, there's a cute one.
Well, yeah, I think I went a little too far for it.
You might have.
But I was just thinking about this woman with a stick in her hand, and the guy jumps out naked, you know?
Right.
This could have been damaged.
It could have been whack-a-mole time.
It could have been. All right.
Anyway.
I think that's all we can do today.
That's all we got, or that's all we wrote.
Yeah, this was a long, tortured episode, and we'll have to just see what happens. Not everyone's a gem. That should be my new first rule. Yeah, there we go. You know, I was thinking today that we needed a new motto.
Right, we take the high road.
Repeating the obvious since 2007, yeah, been up for a while. Not everyone's a gem. I think that might be our next motto.
Good night, Max.
Good night.
Shipwreck free, though I respect that a lot. I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, you bird of friendliness.